And we've now joined by Taryn Tomlinson once again. I think our conversation so far has firstly unpacked the entire conversation around disabled traveling or disabilities, and we have a clear understanding of how what universal access travel and tourism is all about. But tonight I want to talk about the people in the business that actually promise you all of these things. Taryn, welcome to KC 107.7.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Travel agencies and tour operators, are these the good people or the bad people?
It depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, I think in the world you're going to get all kinds. So let's go straight into it. You know, the topic today is inclusive travel agencies and tour operators. What should travelers look for in an inclusive travel agency?
Well, you know, if you're looking for, so thank goodness for the internet these days, it makes it quick to search and you know, to look for businesses that that works with inclusive travel. But I think just, you know, do due diligence in vetting a business as you would any other business, you know, by looking, seeing the reviews, you know, seeing the pictures of the places and the people that they've worked with. I think, however, tour operators within this field are generally the good guys, are generally the people that want to be able to have seen the sector and seen a way in which they can help. The shortcoming is that the tour operator can only book to the best of his, book the places to the best of his ability, having the information, the correct information. And unfortunately, the correct information is often not present. So the tour operator might say, yes, go to that hotel, because he called the hotel and the hotel says, yes, I'm accessible. And then when the guests get there, they actually find that they're not. So the tour operator also plays a pivotal role in making sure that should they decide to tour operate specifically for persons with disabilities in the country, that, you know, they either work together with a consultant or they go and they ask the proper questions to make sure that the premises are accessible.
I think while we're talking about tour operator, travel agency, just for the benefit of the listeners, there's a distinct difference. A travel agency would be the person that's booking your stuff. And the tour operator would be the person actually doing you, taking you around, making sure that he's the guy on the ground.
Yes.
In most cases. Yeah. You will get that the guy that will book for you. We've seen that. But generally, a travel agent would be the guy that you're going to book through, and the tour operator is actually going to make sure your travel is done, your transportation, your hotel, whatever else, and the experience. So let's look at it. From a travel agency point of view, how do you think they can improve themselves? And be sure that if you knock on their door, they can be better equipped to help you.
I think one of the easiest and fastest ways would be for the agent themselves, when they are dealing with their partners, particularly, as I said, hospitality partners, right, when making that booking, is that they're asking for as many pictures as possible, because pictures they can pass on to a client and the client can decide for themselves based on their unique needs whether that premises is going to be suitable for them or not. So never just rely on what the premises tell you, on what they think is accessible. Ask them for pictures and then make sure to pass that on to the client.
Taryn, can you share an example of a local tour operator, or maybe one or two of them that are starting to step up and include some of the things that we talked about?
Well, we have a couple, particularly within the safari accessible safari experiences that are out there. And so those are really, you know, those are good, and it's strong to see those companies that come up and really take the stance. But we actually do need more people. We particularly need more transportation within the tourism for persons who are wheelchair users. So there are, companies around, but a lot of them do focus on safaris.
How can tour operators and travel agencies better equip their staff? I mean, is there specialized training? Are there academic institutions including universal access in the curriculums?
Unfortunately, not. To a large degree, I have had organizations such as City Varsity come in, ask for me to teach a segment for them, but unfortunately it wasn't like, you know, a consistent thing. So, no, unfortunately it's not yet as installed in the curriculum from an education level. That's actually one of the conversations that I'm having with a doctor in accessible tourism. And from there, from the research and education point of view, they are really pushing to get the education installed within tourism from that level. And then we ourselves, as access consultants, we also do disability sensitivity and empathy training for front of house hospitality staff. But then also just from an HR perspective, from a C-suite perspective, to understand, you know, what universal access is and how it affects all of the stakeholders, particularly the tourists.
I think in one of the earlier episodes, we spoke about the size of the market. Some research has been done in terms of, you know, what's the economic benefit if you tap into the universal access market. You want to go into that and just let's talk about what are the benefits for travel operators and agencies to focus their marketing to include universal access.
Absolutely. So when we look at some of the benefits of, and as we said, when we look at universal access, it's not just persons with disabilities.
Yes.
It's a wide gamut of senior citizens.
I've learned well, Taryn.
Yeah, all of that.
Just remember one thing. We've learned this a few weeks ago, and I think we must repeat it, that when we say universal access, please, it's not about only a wheelchair. It's about people with disabilities in different stages of their life. I will be 60 next year, so I will be starting to look for universal access as well.
Are you telling the truth? No way. Wow.
Taryn, you cannot do this on air.
You don't have a face for radio, I'll tell you that much. So just so now I have to look at my, the economic benefits. So if we look at some of the economic benefits with persons with disabilities, so we just look at one. Persons with disabilities usually travel with 2 to 3 extra people with them, okay? So now, that's a bigger, much bigger spend. B, they usually stay in, they contribute more to accommodations because we stay in 4- and 5-star hotels because it's very seldom that you get accessible backpackers and below or, you know, lodges that or guest houses that are actually accessible, so we're paying more for there. They pay for more for transportation, because we can't just jump into get the normal, but any everyday taxi. Many people have to hire specialized vehicles, bigger vehicles, in order to lug the luggage plus the wheelchair plus the caretaker and everybody else. People with disabilities or the elderly also tend to spend more nights in a hotel. So rather than jumping from one night here, then we take in a night at Nisner and doing this, they prefer to stay for an entire duration in one hotel and then travel day trips from there. We all know so that this impacts the environment better because now you're also not changing sheets and, you know, doing all of that daily turnover. Senior citizens and persons with disabilities are also not particularly in that senior seasonal travel, so they tend to travel at various stages throughout the year. So when we look at all of those benefits. Oh, and the other thing as well is that, think about it. If you're with your family, right, and let's say it's away, you're going on a family holiday, the destination that you choose, the hotel that you choose, or the restaurant that you choose to have your event in, the decision is made based on that one person with a disability. So, for example, I have many times, and I have friends from Johannesburg, they would come here for conferences. I was living with family at that time, so I would say, okay, I'm also going to book in at the hotel. We choose a hotel that was accessible for me. So now I've got 10 other people choosing a hotel because it's accessible to me. And we have to think about the economic benefit thereof.
We're talking about economic benefits, and I think we spoke a few weeks ago also about job opportunities and staffing. When it comes to transportation or the economic impact and travel, what would you say? Is there an opportunity for job creation in the sector?
Absolutely. Absolutely, definitely. Particularly with, as I said, we really need more accessible transportation. So, I mean, there as well, I can think of number of job opportunities in ordering, purchasing vehicles, making sure that, you know, persons with disabilities can travel. So, yes, there's a need for better transportation.
I think tour operators need to take be aware of that. Train your staff, train your drivers, follow what Uber has done. I learned about Uber Assist from you. So I think that's something. And also, you know, we talk about staff being more careful. And I think it's more training that will allow that. So the first point of contact when you start planning your holidays is a travel agency, and then obviously your experience as a tour operator. So I think it's an interesting topic that we chose this week. Next week, we're looking at economic impact of universal travel. And you want to give us a bit of a teaser?
Yeah, so this is just going to be, as I mentioned now, some of those stats and figures. We really
the numbers
just,
and the money.
The numbers and the money, and we really look at impact. And I'd also like to be speaking about future trends in population aging, because that is going to affect how we run and do business from now into the future.
Taryn, thank you once again. Always a pleasure having you. I look forward to our next conversation, and you have a stunning week ahead.
Thank you. You too. Take care.